Welcome to Daytime Confidential, brought to you by TVFanOnline.com, your one-stop source for news, gossip, opinions, and more. My name is Lisa.
And I'm Luke. In this week's episode, we're covering a whole bunch of stuff. We've got All My Children's Zarf, Days of Our Lives, and the hiring and firings and the continued rumors. And we've got Bold and the Beautiful, and much, much more. Oh boy, Lisa, I'm telling you what, I have, like, since our first episode, what was it? This is being our 12th episode, I have not been so excited to discuss something as I am this week. There has been so much stuff going on in the world of daytime in terms of quotes. It's like a soap watcher's dream for quotes.
And a gossip lover's dream,
oh,
is
yeah.
It not? This is, while we love it or hate it, it's making news. It's making national news.
Well, yeah, and the thing about it is they it started out a couple weeks ago in terms of the quotes when Julia Barr left and she goes, "I'm so proud that I've been a part of a show that was once a television icon."
Television icon.
I know.
Wow.
It's like it started there. And they just keep coming and they just keep coming. Then we had the whole thing about Zarf, and we'll get to that in a moment. But the revealing quote of that whole press release that was plastered on national headlines, that was, I mean, you could not miss it for like 2 days, was
nope.
Julia Hannon Carruthers said, "All My Children is always looking for something new, and the audience knows that the audience is always interested in anything that has to do with sexuality." Okay.
Da-da-da-da, Captain Obvious has appeared.
Yeah.
What? She's the executive producer of All My Children. Is this correct? Yes. Yeah, that's why we watch soaps.
Yeah.
For sexuality. Thank you.
What I'm so astounded at about the whole thing is that she makes it sound like the only thing that we're ever interested in is sexuality.
Right.
It's like they've been playing the baby sperm swapping, baby swapping storyline for so long, they brought Bianca back, and now they're just going to do the sexuality card. I mean, at this point, this is no reflection on Zarf because we haven't, like, in that storyline because we haven't quite got to that. But just this statement alone, who do you think us, the viewers, are? You're bringing in a character that not a single person has an emotional attachment to.
Nope.
And you're supposedly, well, not only that, but you're supposedly doing this groundbreaking storyline, but you're not even doing it with a character of a core family.
Right. And you know who said it best?
Who?
Was the editor of Soap Opera Digest.
Oh, was that not a great quote or what?
Won't you read it for us?
Oh, come on. Why don't you?
I don't have it in front of me, so you'll have to.
Ah, gotcha.
I am out of town. I am on the road. I am not within the confines of my office, so I am recording this for you people because this Newsweek was too important to miss.
Okay. Well, in that case,
so,
we'll give you a slip.
I don't have it.
We'll give you a slip for this week. But Carolyn Hensley had a great quote this week in terms of this whole topic of Zarf. She goes, referring to All My Children, she goes, "They're trying really hard, and they're throwing a whole lot of desperate stuff against the wall to see what sticks." Okay, this is like what I've been saying for like the past 2 years. All My Children, I love this show. I want it to succeed. I want everything that can possibly happen to happen so that it will be great. And it's like,
It's as if we're being validated. All these negative discussions we've had about All My Children, we're being validated by several sources, if that makes sense. And it's not that I want it to be bad, because like you said, we love this show, we want it to be good, but we're being validated. We're not the only ones who see this train wreck that was once the best soap on air. All My Children is just a hodgepodge of different things.
There's no consistency.
There's none at all.
I mean, they've been getting rid of these characters left and right. I mean, Julia's gone. Simone's gone. Simone's about to be gone. Aaron's about to be gone. And David's gone. And who else knows who may gone? The rumors about Jack leaving are rampant. Whether or not that's true, we don't know for sure yet. But
right.
It's like folks, when you take and you're failing as bad as they are in terms of writing, you do not go try and bring in something new. You go back to what has been proven to be successful in the past. And what has proven to be successful in the past for All My Children is character-driven storylines, not plot lines. It has been the emotional attachment. I mean, All My Children, in one of these magazines here this past week, went and got a cheer because of the fact that the character, the family dynamic, so much has been going bad on it that you had to, like, praise the family dynamic that's been taking place in when the whole scenes of JR in the hospital. And that's what we said a week or two ago in the podcast. That is what's so amazing about it. I mean, it's so nice to see that other people in the magazines, I mean, a lot of times you're reading this stuff and you're watching the TV and you're reading the magazines and you're thinking to myself, I don't always agree with everything that I'm reading in the magazines or the official stuff that the powers that be are trying to make us want to listen to.
Right.
But what's so great about this is, finally, it seems to be a consensus across the board, at least among the outside people, not the people who are actually writing the show, but everybody else who's watching it, there is so much wrong with it that they need to do it. And they need to get back to storylines that a person will care for because of the character.
What I compare it to is, okay, say you're building a house, and the roof falls in, but yet you're building a pool. No, fix your roof first. And that's what All My Children needs to do. It needs to fix what's broken before they start going off on these new tangents. And I applaud them for trying something new and to reach a different kind of audience. I applaud them for that. But fix what's wrong first.
Oh, definitely.
And then work your way to the exciting and yet groundbreaking stories, because it is so bad. I love you, All My Children, and that's why I criticize you so harshly, because I want you to be good, and you can be good. There's so much potential there, and it's lost. And now we're trying these kind of gimmicky stories, and I just feel kind of cheated. I feel like, wait a minute. You need to work your veterans back in. You need to get back, like you said, Luke, get back to the character-driven stories. Stop making these plot-driven points here and there that, like she said, trying to throw spaghetti against the wall to see if it sticks. It's not working, and it's very frustrating as a fan.
To further this point, folks, if you haven't stopped by TV Fan Online forums, you need to go there, tvfanonline.com/forums. We have a great group of posters. One of those posters' names is Jeff, and this guy has some of the most obviously enlightening statements you'll hear. He puts it in a way that's like, that's exactly what I was thinking. And on this topic this week, I'm going to just read a post that he made in the forums. He goes, this is such a tindered box. And by the way, this is not Bianca's story. This is Zarf's shock and awe storyline being played, in my opinion, off what is viewed as a gay social oddity, transgenders, which, if you are still with me, is not a gay or straight-rooted condition, if you will, but a standalone personal inner dynamic. In my opinion, truly only understood by those involved. Bianca not being that person any more than, say, Amanda or Jamie. On the net, I agree with 110% that these folks will not pull this off, and add they have already disrespected the topic by linking it to a gay character. If they wanted to use a transgender storyline, they would need to do it as they did with Bianca, with an existing character undergoing a personal inner conflict the audience could follow with them, not by bringing in a newbie and linking them to someone else's character history. Furthermore, I cannot assume the name Zarf and the obvious Barf is a coincidence, which I find appalling. The whole statement personifies everything. I mean, we haven't even quite got to the Zarf, the Barf, and that whole his appearance. But, folks, this storyline, if they were going to do it right, they should have done it with a character that was already on the show or that it was a part of a core family, even if it was someone brought back. At least it would be a core family.
Right. Well, my personal opinion on it is pretty... it'll invoke some feelings, because I think the reason why Zarf is here as if they are going to, the rumors are true, and they are going to hook him up with Bianca and have him change into a woman, whatever is going to happen, is to have Bianca involved with the man.
Yeah.
They don't want a lesbian love story. They don't want to do it. And so this way they can have him become a woman, therefore staying true to Bianca's lesbianism, but to the others, to people that don't want to see a lesbian story, oh, but she's, you know, she's with a man. I mean, this just, it's, they're not going to do it right. And I hate to say that. I hate to be so negative. But I just don't feel like they're going to do it right. And it just makes, I feel like they're cheating the Bianca fans. And then they're going to, then there's Maggie coming
back.
Well,
that's the thing. It adds insult to injury. The day,
exactly.
The day that these two, that Zarf debuts, and, oh, scenes of that.
It was so bad.
It was so bad. I had people IMing me because I hadn't watched it yet. And they were like saying, this is so bad. It is like
Brace
the worst
yourself.
Thing possible. Brace it. So then I got home and I was actually watching it and I was telling the people, it's like, this is horrible. It's terrible writing. The character, it's it over and a top that only maybe passions
exactly.
could equal. And
it was so
they go,
exaggerated.
And they go, we told you so. We told you so. It was so bad. We told you so. You have to brace yourself.
And it was like every cliche in the book was thrown into this one character. It was just so much. It was too much.
Well, and while I'm watching this and while I'm talking to people on Instant Messenger, lo and behold, the ABC hot sheet shows up in my email box. And it has this little nugget off to the side that says that Maggie's returning. Okay, folks. Considering the fact that they just made national headlines and said that plastered them all over the place, they were going to do this transgender storyline, how much you want to bet Maggie's return is going to be maybe 2 days a week max? They're going to use it to wrap up the whole thing with Bianca, and we, instead of having a character who fans already love return and being able to watch an organic growth of a relationship, which we could have watched between Bianca and Maggie, she's going to wrap it up. We'll never see Maggie again. And in the meantime, we're going to be stuck with Zarf for at least a year or two because a transgender storyline, I don't care how fast you do it, based on like everything that's apparently involved, is going to take a lot longer than that.
Exactly. But will they do it right? Will it be instantaneous? Will they kiss Bianca and go, hey, I'm really a woman? You know, are they going to do it the correct way? Has he been struggling with this for years? I don't know. And I really do hope for all my children's sake and the fans and the ones that are coming over to see this kind of storyline that it is done correctly. I just don't have confidence in them the way they've messed up Bianca, the way they've messed up just about every storyline that's going on right now. I just don't have any confidence in them. And I wish that were the opposite.
Well, I guess if we're going to try and make lemonade out of lemons, because this...
At least Bianca's back.
Bianca's back. Maggie's coming back. And it provides an opportunity for us to at least see them. It's, hey, as much as you hate it, Bianca and Maggie being back together for even if it's a short time will more than likely mean less time of seeing those characters who we prefer to see less of. In my case, Annie.
In my case, Babe.
Oh,
but that's
which,
never going to happen.
On a completely side topic, I have a little Soap Opera Weekly here, and no, they do not sponsor this, but I just have to read this because of my little breakdown that I had a few episodes ago about Annie. I thought it was very revealing. They go, winners and losers. AMC's Greenlee. Ryan faked his death to avoid having a baby with her. They forgot to mention the fact that he had himself snipped. And 1 year later, he has two kids. Talk about miraculous conception.
Well, this all goes back to what you were saying a little bit ago, how it's an unconnected character to the canvas. And here we are. Here's Annie, an unconnected character to the canvas, now suddenly connected by Ryan's holy sperm, and now he's the father of this beautiful child, which I refuse to believe.
That child in those scenes is a great actress.
She's so brutal.
Either that or else they really like pulled the lollipop out of her mouth right before they said action. I mean, it's one of the two.
Hey, your dog died. Go.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the kid is amazing.
It's just like you were saying, and having Annie be the, you know, I don't know, the Virgin Mary. It just kills me that here was Bianca Greenlee. They could have, it would have been a great story. And now we have Kendall being jealous, and I kind of understand her. I don't think she wants Ryan back. She just wants, you know, Spike to be number one. And here we are, you know, now he's number two, in her mind, of course. So I just get so frustrated that I'm not emotionally invested in these stories because I don't care about Annie. I don't care about Zarf. I don't care.
Well,
people, fix what's wrong first.
And they could have done these storylines with any one of the number of young people or young characters that they've discarded over the past couple years.
Well, cool would it have been if Sean had been struggling with this?
Reggie, or I mean,
who's Reggie?
He's on the permanent. I think he's on tour with someone as like a band manager.
Yeah, well, he's a college. And college is so tough. He couldn't even come home for Thanksgiving.
It's never that tough.
But do you know what I mean? It could have been somebody like that we know, and it is connected. But you know, we got to have Annie, come in, and Zarf, Freddy Looper. That's his name. That's his real name, guys. Zarf is not his given name, not like Spike. It's Freddy Looper.
The character.
The character's name, yeah. The actor's name is Jeffrey Carlson, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I get frustrated because I don't care about these people, and it's hard for me to care when, you know, he's a babe apologist for one thing.
Well, and
so I was done there.
And the other thing about it is he comes on the show and day one, which was Thursday, it was all enlightenment.
Oh.
I'm enlightenment. It was horrible. I mean,
they're naked. Now, what woman would walk in their office, see a naked man and go, oh, no, they would scream bloody murder and go down and call
and
security.
They had Danielle and Aaron acting like idiots.
Teenagers.
Yeah.
I know.
These are businesswomen who are supposedly running a multi-million dollar corporation, and they're acting like idiots.
Yeah, and what a way to send Simone and Aaron off, you know, acting like total fools and willing to strip for somebody they've never even met before.
Well, and it's like adding insult to injury right before we kill you off. Boom, boom, slash, slash. I mean, and
aren't
then...
you glad you're going?
Well, not only that, but then on the day Friday, which... listeners, as mentioned earlier, Lisa is on vacation, and she's still doing this, so that's how dedicated we are to you guys as listeners.
Because you're number one, fans.
They have Zarf come in, and basically, I mean, he was acting... Okay, many people have accused Babe of being a blonde bimbo. Zarf was one. I mean, he was like, let me chart your horoscope, let me do this, I need your aura, all this...
All the cliches, all the stereotypes, just rolled into one. It was just too much, and I was over it. I was over it the first 5 minutes, and it could have been really funny, and it almost was. I kind of caught myself smirking a little bit here and there, and then other times I was just holding my head in just absolute horror. Why are they doing this?
Well, and it all goes back to the fact that when I'm thinking about it, no matter what we've done, unless the fan reaction to the storyline initially is so bad and so loud, we're stuck with this storyline.
Oh. Yeah, I think you're right. Maybe we'll get a new head writer and clean it out.
Well, here's something, and I never ever thought I'd see the day that I'd say this, because I've never been a particular fan of the character Aiden, because he always seems to like just be a character that sits there, does practically nothing, and all he ever is a prop to another storyline.
Yes.
Instead of bringing Zarf in, why can't we give storylines to characters such as Aiden, who have been putting in their time for, what is it, 8 years now? Or, I mean,
exactly.
Six, 8 years. Give them a storyline, let them fill leading status. But no, we get this.
It's ridiculous, and it's so frustrating as a fan. It's disheartening at the same time. I hope we're wrong. I hope that they do it right. I hope that we're proven wrong. I really do. I just don't think we will be.
Oh, no.
That's just the bottom line.
They're going to have the delicacy with this storyline of a lead balloon.
Oh, sure. And that's what they're known for here lately, so.
Well, before we switch topics, I do want to mention one thing. For those of you who have MySpace and are not a friend of TV Fan Online, go to myspace.com/TVFanOnline. Another great thing about MySpace is that if you go on there, you can find a lot of official MySpace profiles for actors, or sometimes you'll get character profiles of the favorite characters on your show. Well, the other great thing about this is you'll have people like this past week when Alicia Minshew went and sent out a bulletin this past week talking about a charity that her and a lot of All My Children people are involved in.
Those of you who do not know who Alicia Minshew is, get out of the cave. That is who plays Kendall Hart on All My Children.
Here, I'm going to just read what she said, because obviously this is from her directly. She goes, check out the awesome auctions currently on Yahoo Auctions to raise money for the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer. There are little teddy bears with tags signed by many stars, daytime, primetime, theater, etc., as well as a pair of Everlast pink boxing gloves to knock out breast cancer, signed by All My Children cast members, including Susan Lucci, Jeff Branson, Terry Ivins, Chrishell Stouse, Amber Childers, Jill Larson, David Canary, Alexa Havens, Colin Inglesfield, Connie Fletcher, and more. That's just that. But then you can also get teddy bears from All My Children. There are teddy bears for Jeff Branson, Justin Bruning, Bobby Eakes, Kelly Giddish, Terry Ivins, Thorsten Kay, Alexa Havens, Sidney Penney, Lawrence Lau, Mark Lemura, and Darnell Williams. And you can find all these things on Yahoo Auctions if you look for them. No matter what we say about All My Children and how bad the writing is, the fact of the matter is these stars go in there day in, day out. They put in performances with material that they take the material that they're given, as bad as it can be in many cases, and make it shine to the best of their ability. And when you see them coming together and working for charity auctions and the such, it is definitely something that we would encourage you as listeners to check out. I mean, obviously not everybody can donate, but we want to always try and bring to people's attention when such charity events take place, because we feel that not only can we help spread the word, but who knows, maybe a listener might have the ability to donate to such a worthy cause. So
but
if you have that,
it.
Oh yeah. So if you want to do it, check out Yahoo Auctions. And I'm sure you can probably just look it up under All My Children. I didn't actually try it before we started podcasting because it was one of those things that came through in my last minute notes. But definitely check it out. It's definitely something that you want to check out.
And just real quick, I want to just reemphasize that when we criticize, we are not criticizing these actors. Like Luke said, they go in, day out, do what they're told, try to spin gold out of crap, and they have our utmost respect. We love them, and when we do gripe, it's most of the time it's the character. That the actors are wonderful. Most of them that I've met and gotten to know have been wonderful people. And taking their time to do charity things like this just makes me respect them all the more.
Well, and not only that, but I mean, in the case of all the ABC stars, you'll have these people are doing all this stuff for charity in between all their commitments outside of the show for the show, like the guys and the gals who go on the
Soap Star Weekend.
Well, Soap Star Weekend, but also the tours. Oh, all of a sudden it's slipping my mind. What is that called?
The Fun in the Sun.
Yes, the Fun in the Sun tour. I mean, these are people who are going out trying to help promote the show for viewers and everything. But then they also take the time to do stuff for charity, and that's something that we always want to help to spread the word on.
So we really respect them for that.
Okay, now that we've got All My Children covered, do you want to move on to the next great quote?
Sure.
Do you have it, or should I read it?
I can't.
Well,
yeah.
Why don't you set it up?
I don't know what we're talking about.
Oh!
Remember,
you know,
I'm
you
on
go,
vacation.
You,
I don't
you,
have it
you
all.
Going on vacation. Thorsten
has really hurt.
Thorsten Kay and
The One Life to Live. Oh,
yes.
Yes. Marty Saybrook.
Okay, folks. I'll just say this as a preface before we even get this started. I always give characters a month before I, like, completely bash them. But I was the actress who is currently portraying Marty Saybrook is an actress
Christina Chambers,
who in previous or in other soaps I have not liked at all. Now, I have not been watching One Life to Live that long, so I'll set that up also before we get to this conversation. I did not watch the whole Todd Marty story, but her coming on this week or this past week and kicking off this whole storyline, in addition to causing some interesting commentary by other stars, it is, I don't know, it's one of those things where I'm losing my train of thought.
Well, let me just take it.
Okay, why don't you take it away?
One Life to Live has recast Marty Saybrook, and for anyone that's watched One Life to Live knows how important Marty Saybrook is to the canvas. She is the girl that was gang raped that started the whole Todd story. Todd, and then it ended up with Todd and Blair, you know, his redemption, blah, 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 blah. So, Todd Manning and his former nemesis, Marty, who have kind of made peace in former years. Well, Marty has been recast with Christina Chambers, and a lot of people are not happy with that because Marty, to them, is the original actress, Susan Haskell. Well, rumor is Susan was offered the role of Marty to come back, but she couldn't because she and Thorsten Kay, who plays Zach on All My Children, are expecting a child.
Congratulations to them, by the way.
Congratulations.
Shout outs to them.
It'll be another beautiful baby.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's their second child, and it'll be another beautiful child.
If it's half as beautiful as what you'd expect a Zendel baby to be, that kid is going to go far.
Well, you know, they're both very attractive people. So anyways, the rumor is now that Susan Haskell was never offered the part, and to feed this rumor is a quote in Soaps and Depth, ABC Soaps and Depth this week by Thorsten Kay, who is the other half of the original portrayer, Susan Haskell. And would you like to read that, Luke?
He goes, I think it's a mistake. He says, Susan is an incredible actress. He goes, while it didn't confirm whether or not she was approached to reprise the character, the actor alludes that the timing wasn't right for his real-life leading lady. And that, let's see here, and I'm paraphrasing at this moment, it would have been, because I think the story would have worked out much better with Susan back in the role. Okay.
Well, duh.
Well, yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, it's obvious that whenever possible, you always want the original actor, especially
yes.
if they're a popular one.
Yes.
But it seems a little bit interesting that all of a sudden you have someone on an entirely different soap referencing what's going on another soap. I mean, it's not something that you see very often, is it? I don't.
Well, he used to be on that soap.
Well, I know, but I was just
Patrick
meaning
Thornhart. So he has a little, you know, he has an emotional attachment, and of course, he loves Susan. That's his, you know, his love. But here's the thing. I said duh earlier, and that's not against Thorsten. It just seems like everybody understands that Susan Haskell is Marty because the emotional depth of the storyline of Marty coming back and Todd being paranoid, oh, maybe she's coming back to get revenge on me and send her son to almost rape my daughter, blah, blah, blah. It's missing. It's gone. It's null. It's void. We have a new recast Todd, and now we have a recast Marty. I don't feel anything, even though I know the history of both characters. I'm feeling nothing, and everybody seems to understand that, except the casting and writing department of One Life to Live, the show. They should have waited. They should have put this on the back burner.
Well, okay, just to clarify,
Susan could come back.
We shouldn't quite say that, because if she wasn't going to come back, they couldn't wait. Obviously,
I disagree.
But what I'm saying is, if they approached her and she said no, because since it said it's the fact where they can't confirm whether or not she was approached, if they did approach her and she said I'm not able to, then they could. I mean, then I don't see a problem with them taking and recasting a character. If she said I'm not able to at this point, but if you'd wait for until after the baby's born, I'd be more than happy to do it. Then I would say they should have waited.
See, I disagree. I think if she said, no, I can't come back because I'm pregnant, they shouldn't have done the storyline. Period.
Well,
because Marty was on just last year. Just last year. So are we supposed to forget?
That must have been during one of those periods of time when I wasn't tuning in, because
Todd was flashing and, you know, was having these dreams and he was in the crypt and his conscience was talking to him and it's Morty. And she was just on, you know, and now we're supposed to forget now she's a half a foot shorter with darker hair and darker skin. It just doesn't make any sense.
Oh, and since you were traveling, I'll tell you this real quick. Since you're traveling on Friday, she actually walked in on Friday's episode into the court, and apparently she's going to be testifying for Spencer.
Yeah, I did read that spoiler. She's going to testify that Spencer's crazy and try to get him off, and so that fuels Todd's paranoia that Marty's out to get him. And how much...
Well, let's face it, Todd has a lot to be paranoid for.
Right, but, you know, exactly. But I'm not feeling it.
Well,
I'm not feeling it at all.
Someone else who isn't feeling it, and we're going back to the Oracle of Wisdom, Jeff from the forums.
Oh, Jeff.
Once again, he can make comments, and he puts it all in the light of day, or shed the light of day on
it. Perspective.
Yes. He goes, recasting this character in what seems to be a plot point storyline, in my opinion, is a risky move. The actress I briefly saw may be quite talented, but for me does not invoke Marty. And without that aura, I fear that the connection and historical significance will be lost. Marty is the genius, if you will, of Todd. Understanding Todd for me is knowing this storyline. You may not know that Todd, up until the recast, wore a scar from that night. He is the modern telling of Hester Prynne, and the scar was his scarlet letter. For me, Susan is Haskell. I had initials here. I had to make sure I got it right. Needs to be Marty to fulfill that role in Todd's life, should the Marty-Todd connection work. Their chemistry, if you will. Yes, not having Roger Howarth takes away from this as well. Trevor St. John has, for me, captured Todd's essence in a way that works as a Todd who has matured with us. My fear is that not knowing this Marty will take away from the power this relationship holds. And heck, not having Kevin around sure doesn't help either.
Preach it, Jeff. Jeff's absolutely right. Jeff's 100% right down the line.
Well, I'll have to take it from you guys since you know it better, but it's just one of those things where it all comes back to the point that all my children, or not all my children, but ABC soaps have become plot point storylines.
Absolutely. And it's going to be their downfall.
Yep. I mean, the shows that are doing the best in terms of writing are shows that are character driven.
Absolutely.
Not
because
plot point.
If we don't care what happens, I don't care how good the plot is. If we don't care about the characters involved, we're not invested. That's just the soap staple, people. We're not in for the stories. We're in for the people in the stories.
These people are people who are our families. We watch these kids grow up in our sore ass much faster than, well, those of you who have your own. But, I mean, we watch these kids grow up. Some of them seems like older characters seem like grandparents. Other people seem like siblings. Other people seem like children or nephews and nieces. And when you start dismantling that dynamic of daytime soaps, then basically you're destroying them. Because it's that heritage that makes the connection. It's that attachment that we as viewers have that make it so that we keep tuning in.
Exactly.
With Zarf, if we were going to do a transgender storyline, should have been done with the character of a family from a core family. In this case, the attachment that we have here, like Jeff says and you say, apparently, because I didn't watch it back then, needs to be with a character with who we have attachment to, and it needs to be with, in this case, at least with Marty, you guys are saying, with an actor, actress who we have an attachment to.
Exactly. There's no attachment. I don't feel Marty. Christina Chambers is fine. There's nothing wrong with her.
Well, I will say this, okay, and I alluded to this earlier, I was not a fan of hers in the other soaps because of the fact that she butchered Molly. But I'm not, like, for what I'm seeing, she's exceeding my expectations. Now, granted, those may have been a little bit low because of my obvious bias from As the World Turns, but she's exceeding my expectations at this point. I mean, and that's something I never thought I'd say.
Well,
I mean,
that's
almost
great.
Like me saying I want Aiden to have a storyline, something I never thought I'd say. I mean, it's twice in one episode. Boy, something's happening here.
You ever hear me say, oh, go, babe, then, you know.
Okay.
You'll know to look for the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You know that it is over. But, I just wish they'd held off on the Marty storyline because Cole on his own with Star and Langston and all of that, and I hate teen storylines, but they work.
Star and that kid work great.
Star and Langston,
yes,
are the stars of that show right now. For me, they're the light of the show right now.
So. Yeah, I mean,
worked. It could have been fine.
Well, and while we're on the topic of controversial recasts, have you heard the latest news about Lexi on Days of Our Lives?
Now, this is a rumor, isn't it?
Well,
it's not been confirmed, right?
Well, if you take Soap Opera Weekly at its word, it goes, they reference it. It goes, the budget cuts continue at Days of Our Lives with Renee Jones as Lexi, which we already mentioned in a previous podcast when we heard about that coming. She goes, they say, originally they were going to kill the character of Lexi off. Now there's talk about possibly recasting the role.
That's
okay,
crazy.
First of all, they should not be getting rid of Lexi if they're rebuilding the DiMera family. That's point one. Point two is, you do not recast a character with an actress who's been on the show since 1993.
It's crazy.
I can think of a whole bunch of other, like, okay, if we were going to do, I mean, even if it was for budgetary concerns, I can think of some characters, say, like Willow.
But yes, she's first on my list.
I mean, months ago, it would have been Chelsea would be the first on the list. But, I mean, once again, Willow
she's
is
second.
Topping that list. But why would you do that? And this week, people, we were going to discuss how great Days of Our Lives has been under Sheffer because
And now I'm mad.
Because he's been working. I mean, everything else about the show, he's been working miracles on.
Oh, the EJ story is fabulous.
And the Chelsea story?
I am on the edge of my seat with the EJ story, and Chelsea's not annoying me as much.
Well,
that's
because they found a good opposite for her.
But if she hurts Nick, she's back down there.
Yeah.
She's back on the list. So she better be careful.
But we were going to be talking about how great all of this was, and I mean, because last week we discussed the fact that Lexi, or the actress who portrays Lexi, was going to be let go, and because of the fact of that, I mean, we'd sort of come to terms with that, and then you read this.
Right. Because you don't know what's going on behind the scenes if, you know, there's some problems or whatever. So we kind of let it go, and then you hear about the recast, and it doesn't make any sense. Then, if you're not going to get rid of the character, then keep the character, keep the actress. She is Lexi, and you can't recast somebody just like that, unless something, you know, a death or something like that has happened.
Is it possible that Hogan has been drinking beer from the Brady tub? Or pub, sorry.
Who cares? It's just not right. And it may not even be his fault, so we can't put that on the writer. That could be an executive, you know, producer decision.
True.
But, you know.
But you would think that the person who's been who's been hailed by so many sources, so many different people, as the person who's going to come in and save this show, because arguably he's already doing it. You would think that the person who's being hailed for all of this would have some control over whether or not the characters were. And if I'm not mistaken, in an interview, he said that he had plans for Lexi and Abe. Well,
I know.
Killing off or writing off Lexi, that's not really a storyline that you want to hear. And if it's recast, that just adds insult to injury.
Exactly. Insult to injury. That's perfect. You know, this is the first time, on a little bit more positive note, this is the first time in, oh gosh, I would say 20 years since I've watched Days of Our Lives. Yes, I've watched it that long. It's been the first time since Shane and Kimberly, Patch and Kayla, Bo and Hope, all of that, that I rush to watch Days of Our Lives. I make sure I don't miss it. It is must-see TV for me right now. And, you know, you know why? Because Sheffer is writing character-driven stories.
No one does it better, and if this keeps going,
not right now.
There's no one in daytime who currently writes it better. I mean, especially
I can't believe it. Days of Our Lives is one of the best written soaps. Can you believe that?
Well, okay, I won't say that it's the best written now. I wouldn't even quite go that far yet. What I would say is that it's making an astounding recovery. It has a long way to go before it will equal A Young and the Restless or As the World Turns. But
see,
considering,
I think it's better than Young and the Restless right now. So
considering how short a time he's been in there. It's the changes are astronomically.
It's night and day.
Oh yeah.
I can't even believe it, because when you approached me about this podcast idea, I had to watch Days of Our Lives. And I wasn't really looking forward to it. Now I'm very glad I have to watch Days of Our Lives. It's really a lot of fun, and I'll tell you what, EJ is doing it for me. Just this, the evil lurking underneath.
And
James Scott has found his niche.
Oh, and that's what's even worse about the whole thing is, once again, you have a character, an actor, who, if given the opportunity on All My Children, could have been a great character. And the few opportunities he was, but they got rid of him, and now he's on Days of Another Soap and doing great. What does that say for people like David Irizarry, who's going to be on Young and the Restless? Vincent Irizarry, sorry. Got character
David
thing
Hayward,
mixed up.
That's
yeah, exactly.
Right.
Mixed up. What's that say for him? What's that say for the potential if Julia Barr would end up on another soap?
Well, see, there's rumors, and please, people, do not take this one seriously, because I do not think it's going to happen, because I do not see where he's going to fit on canvas. But there are rumors that One Life's to Live, the most recent Kevin Buchanan, Dan Gauthier, is going to be joining Days of Our Lives. And if that happens, you guys, the scream that you hear will be me from Helena, Alabama. The scream of joy. But I don't think it's going to happen. And then there's another rumor of another cast member going to Days of Our Lives as a recast Mickey. And who is that?
Well, yeah, but that's...
But that's a rumor.
Yeah, and so I don't know how... Yeah, I don't... That. Well, for those of you who, instead of just saying it and then saying we don't want to report it, there's talk about potentially of the... I mean, rumor online is, and you know how those go. You have to take stuff online with
a giant grain of salt.
But... Rumor has it that apparently the guy who plays John on Young and the Restless,
Jerry Douglas,
has been possibly talked to about going to Days of Our Lives as Mickey. Now, folks, that's an internet rumor, so...
But it would be really fun.
Well, this is my question, and this is completely off topic, because we never really thought we were going to go down this track, but after you have John Engel in there, who is a great actor, needed to go back to General Hospital to play Edward. When I'm watching Days of Our Lives and considering how seldom they seem to use Mickey, to me, it's like instead of keeping and recasting and recasting and recasting this character, why don't they just put the character to rest? Either he goes up to the attic, he goes into the back of the bar and never returns. Why?
Mickey's a lawyer. Why would he go into the back of the bar?
Sorry, I'm getting the people mixed up. I was thinking Brady Pubs from earlier, but to me it just doesn't make sense. Why would you recast these characters?
This is, you know, like you said, this is just an internet rumor, something we like to just throw out there just in case, because A, it's fun, and B, if it really comes to pass, we look brilliant.
Soaps would not be half as fun if it was not for all the internet rumors
exactly.
And theories. I mean, and let's face it, folks, we do not claim to have inside sources. We just discuss the stuff that's out there. Some of them, it's official, and when it's official, we try and tell you that. But half the fun is discussing stuff that may or may not come to pass.
Yeah. And that's why we don't want to report it as news, because it's not news. It's fun rumor, and that's all we're talking about here, and how much better Days of Our Lives has gotten, and how great it is that these people are taking chances on these actors that were discarded by these other soaps and making them shine. And I think that's wonderful of them, because there is true talent. James Scott, who plays EJ on Days of Our Lives, has that talent to play that evil yet sexy yet, you know, compelling character that I never thought he could play on All My Children.
Oh, I don't believe that. I mean,
well, they wasted him on All My Children. So
well, they wasted him, but if you ever watched,
I thought he was kind of shallow or something. But no.
But if you watch that scene with him and Kendall in the champagne bath,
oh, that was hot.
Yeah, there's no way that you can say that he could have not been used for great potential, because when him and Kendall were together, there was a lot.
Not this dark.
Well, true, they didn't have him dark.
That's what I'm talking about. This is dark, layered. I mean, he's pulling it off, and I'm thrilled for
well,
him.
Well, and once again, it goes back to writing, because he had to be given the writing. He wasn't given it on All My Children, and now he's
exactly.
being given it.
So, hey, Luke, what's next, man? Wait, let me go get a drink. Let me get a limoncello.
Yeah.
Talk about folks. Wait, George Clooney's here. Come here, George. Let's go drink.
What a great impersonation.
Oh, man.
Folks.
A word that man said.
We're going to have to start making The View a permanent fixture in this podcast. I mean, sure, we'll discuss Regis and Kelly when there's something great on there. Which, by the way, if you missed it, Eva LaRue from All My Children was on there this past Friday or Thursday. I may have got my episodes mixed up on my DVR. Great to see her. But
she's so beautiful.
We'll discuss Kelly and Regis when they have something great. We'll discuss Oprah or Ellen.
Right now, I need another drink.
But let's face it. The View is the show that you want to be watching if you just want great entertainment. I'm beginning to wonder if they're not staging this stuff in some way. Because it seems like every week there's something new. It's almost as if the spin machine at The View is like coming up with stuff from behind the scenes to like make it so that once again this week The View, because the cycle on it seems to be a week. It happens on Monday or Tuesday or Friday, and then it runs for the entire week. It ends on about the same time, and then it starts all over. I mean, there's been Rosie comments, and then there was the Clay Aiken thing and with Kelly Ripa, and now there's Danny DeVito. This is a show that is on fire, and I have not enjoyed it. I have not enjoyed watching this show so much.
Well, and it wasn't even Rosie's fault this time.
No.
This was all Danny DeVito and George Clooney. Apparently George Clooney got him drunk. It's a rumor. But
well, no, he said it. It's not a rumor. They said it's not a rumor that he got drunk. It's,
right. Oh, and Joy Behar the next day said, oh, Danny, yeah, he was wasted. Well, duh, Joy, thank you. Another Captain Obvious remark. Well, thank you very much.
and then he goes, I mean, and then it's like, it's almost, it goes back to my theory of they're doing this. It's like, he ended up being acting like an idiot on The View, got great ratings and buzz, and then where does he show up all of a sudden? Letterman.
Letterman.
I'd be very curious to know whether that or not that appearance was scheduled prior to or post that appearance on The View.
Well, they're both in New York, so it's just easy to do that whole press tour there. But, man, when Clooney said that, you know, guests need to be drunk on The View to be able to do the show, I just lost it. I thought, man, that's kind of harsh, George. But it's kind of true.
Well, not only that.
How much fun was that, though? Fun was Danny DeVito? I loved it. I thought, you know what? Everybody should do that show drunk.
Well, then, not only that, but then this week, for those of you who are soap fans, because obviously this is a soap podcast if you're listening to it, but then we have Renee Goldsberry on the show as a guest host. She was on there, I believe, on Friday. She sang from the Christmas CD, from the ABC Christmas CD. And then I believe it was Wednesday, the actress who plays Drew, Victoria Rowell on Young and the Restless, was on because it was featuring, let's see here, I'm getting my days mixed up because there was World's Aid Day, and then they had foster care, and they're featuring foster care. So you have these two great actresses, both of which obviously need as, I mean, when it comes to daytime, there's no industry where the stars are underappreciated as much. So it's nice to see them on these shows on something like The View and getting further exposure. Renee for her CD, for the ABC CD as well. And then to see Victoria on there promoting something as important as foster care.
Exactly.
And it also makes it wonder is there's been a lot of debate and discussion as to who is eventually going to be that fourth person or that fifth person.
Sherry Shepherd.
Well,
Sherry Shepherd. That's my vote. I'm just screaming out my vote there.
But it's just one of those things where you start seeing these people from daytime. Susan Lucci's been on, now Renee, Victoria, all these people have been on, and you start wondering, maybe they'll go for today. Personally, I don't think they should, but hey. I think they should look for someone outside of the daytime world to bring in a different demographic. But what do I know? I only know soaps. I don't know anything about running a talk show.
I think it'll be Sherry Shepherd. She's probably the best choice. She's really, really funny. She fits in. She's argumentative without being confrontational. And she's funny. And she's beautiful. So go Sherry Shepherd. And I'm not saying that the other ones aren't beautiful. Of course they are. I just think she fits in the best. And I really wish her well.
Well, and speaking of wishing people well, we want to give out a shout-out to Darlene Conley or Sally Spector on Bold and the Beautiful.
Oh, please, folks, get better.
Yeah. It was just announced this past week that she has cancer. As someone who has had, I mean, many people have family members who have had a family member with cancer who either have survived or have not survived. As someone who has had a family member who survived it, this is something that our thoughts are with you. We hope and pray that everything goes well. We can't wait to see you on our screens when you are able to after this is all over. Mm-hmm. We just want you back. Our thoughts are with you.
And for anybody that may want to help, please go to the American Cancer Society, AmericanCancerSociety.com, and they will show you how to help.
With
research, with donations, even in your local community. It's a very good way. It's a cause near and dear to my heart.
Well, and it's so like please. We mentioned earlier. It's like we mentioned earlier with the All My Children things for breast cancer. There are so many different types of cancer.
Exactly.
No matter which one you contribute to, they all need a cure, and who knows, maybe one could lead to curing another.
Exactly. And every little bit helps, and it would be appreciated. And that's our PSA for the week. And we appreciate you guys, you know, sitting in and listening to us every week. We love having you. And please visit us on TVFanOnline.com and go to the forums.
TVFanOnline.com/forums.
We love seeing you there. Come in, and we're a great group of people. We have a new poster. We have a new forum member this week.
Oh! I got to make sure I find that here.
Used to have a life.
Yes, used to have a life. There, that should be my username. I used to have a life.
That's the best username ever.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
I used to think mine was good. No, that was really good. That's very clever. So,
yeah.
Welcome. Used to have a life, and hopefully we can help you get a life again. So.
Hey, and if you've listened to this podcast, you join the forums. We've got a specific board set up where on the forums, Daytime Confidential, where you can discuss any of the episodes that you've listened to that we've recorded. You could drop by, tell us you've listened to it. We want to get people involved and interacting. So that is there for you as well. I'm trying to think.
Oh gosh,
what else are we missing?
Tons of columnists. Go visit the columnists. They have their opinion columns are wonderful. They're so funny. They're so insightful. We love and appreciate them so much. So
and
go visit them.
Before we mention it, I want to do a little bit of a tease for next week, folks. We mentioned Bold and the Beautiful briefly in our shout out, but folks, if you have watched Bold and the Beautiful and you're wanting to take and see something great, Betty White arrived this week, and we're not going to discuss it this week because we want to see how next week plays out, but just the way it took place, like just the filming of it was great. I mean, Stephanie calls her sister picks up the phone, Stephanie can't go through it because she's got so many emotions, hangs up the phone, the sister turns the phone off after it, and she goes mother, and you hear this creaking creak of a rocking chair. It pans over. There is Betty White sitting in a rocking chair, methodically rocking. The sister goes, It was Stephanie. She was asking about you. The rocking chair stops. It zooms in on Betty White's face really close. And she goes, oh, she did? And then the rocking starts over again. Talk about a great cliffhanger. It's going to be so good.
And
our columnist, Beverly.
It's going to rock.
Well, not only that, but our columnist, Beverly, who writes for Bold and the Beautiful, she writes Beautiful Moment. She was on there and she was saying, she was on me on IM. She goes, I'm so excited. She says, I haven't been this excited about Bold and the Beautiful for a while. This kicks so much butt. So, folks,
so
next week we will be discussing Bold and the Beautiful for sure, as well as many more great topics. If you have suggestions for topics, we always want to hear them. We have a lot of stuff that comes to our mind that we want to cover. But folks, if we want to give to you what you the listeners enjoy most, and we try to cover a lot of different soaps. Obviously, we can't fit all 9 of them in every single podcast at this point. But we want you to email us at dc@tvfanonline.com. Drop by the forums, give us suggestions either in the forums or via email. We are all about having an interactive conversation with you, the fans, because that's what we are. We're fans. We're not some big fancy bigwigs. We're just fans who like and enjoy this topic, and we want to discuss it with you. So drop us a line. Until next time, have a good one, folks.
Bye, everybody.